Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, the man that brings you this podcast, as I do every single time I do this podcast, live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via Columbus, Ohio. I hope you're doing well out there, listeners. I'm a busy man, but I'm doing well, and I'm happy to be back out on the airwaves. And on this episode, on this edition of the PVD Cast, you're going to hear myself sit down with a gentleman named Ben Hilton. He's a friend of mine. I met him through Jeremy Madrox. And Ben is a very enthusiastic wrestling fan. He's a very enthusiastic film buff. And he's been on before. He hasn't been on in a while. He wanted to come on and talk. And I said, hey, you know what? It would be awesome to come on this past Monday. We'll talk about WWE Payback, and we do. We talk about what we liked about it, what we didn't like about it. We even talk a little bit about NXT, talk a little bit about Ring of Honor. We go all over the place when it comes to wrestling. I mean, this is going to be a very scatterbrained conversation between Ben and I, but I think it's going to be a fun one. I think it's going to be an enjoyable one. It gets silly at times, it gets random at times, but I think that you're going to find it to be enjoyable. So, with that being said, though, I want to get a few things out of the way first. I got to give congratulations to Brian Lau. Now, Brian was on this podcast several episodes ago talking about his Kickstarter that he was launching so that he could publish Staunch Ambition. The first through the third issue, that's what he was trying to get money for. And gosh darn it, he was successful. So, big round of applause, man. Big round of applause to Brian. Getting it done, man. He got the money. He got it. It went down to the wire, though. I'm not going to lie to you. It went down to the wire, but he managed to reach his goal. And man, oh man, I can't wait to hear. I can't wait to hear the story of how excited Brian is that he reached his goal. And Staunch Ambition issues 1, 2, and 3 are going to be coming out. And you know what? I'm very happy for Brian. And dude, awesome job. So I give you another round of applause as I did before. There you go. Well-deserved, my friend. Another group of individuals I'd like to give a round of applause to is Old Wrestling. This past Friday, Old Wrestling had a big event, and from what I understand, it was a pretty darn good event. In fact, everything I've read online has been very complimentary about the Speakeasy Spectacular that was up in the Cleveland area on the 29th of April. I wish I could have gone, but unfortunately with my shoot job, as we call it, I was coaching at a track meet that evening and couldn't attend. But from what I understand, Marion Fontaine and the guys and girls involved in Old Wrestling hit it out of the park, and I'm going to give them a round of applause too. So, you know, well done. Well done, guys and girls of Old Wrestling. And you know what? It's a great product. I'm going to throw it out there. Check out OLDEWrestling.com for more information on Old Wrestling. And oh, hey, you know what? I totally forgot. Check out StaunchAmbition.com as well. How rude of me to not even throw that out there. Check out Brian Lau's science fiction graphic novel, Staunch Ambition, over at that website, StaunchAmbition.com. All right, now that I got all those items thrown out there and taken care of, let's throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of that break, you're going to hear Ben and I talk a whole lot of wrestling. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm sitting here with Ben.
Hello, everyone. In podcast land.
In podcast land. Yes. Which is right next to Parts Unknown. Yes. Right down the road from Dudleyville. Mm-hmm. And Bad Street, USA.
Yes, Bad Street, USA. There you go. I was trying to think of other places that wrestlers are from.
There was my question from Payback last night. We saw the Japanese commentating team.
Yes.
The Italians. The Germans. Where was the Parts Unknown? Where was the Parts Unknown commentators? Where were they? Why weren't they represented?
Well, they're in Parts Unknown. It's kind of hard to reach them, I guess.
Is it? I guess. When
you put something in the mail to Parts Unknown, it just gets shipped right back. Maybe. I don't know. I want to know why there was an Asian-looking guy on the Russian team.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, yeah. And why do we need all those comments? Why do you need to mention that? Like, I can get it with WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but
Why
with payback?
With payback, yeah.
It's, yeah. I don't understand. I understand, like, they want to let everyone know, hey, look at all these countries that we're in, but...
Yeah. I mean, can't you just show a graphic of a map?
Right. Like, yeah. Just say, hey, this is where we're at, and these are the commentators that represent these countries.
You know what it is? I bet Funaki has it written in his contract.
He might. I mean, they cut him off right quick. He went Funaki, and then it was like, all right, back to action.
Yeah.
And he's like, number one announcer. Okay. Like, they just didn't care at all. They're like, yeah, we gotta get back to the match.
That's somebody who would do, indeed.
He should have. He doesn't throw that gimmick out enough anymore.
Even though that was the best gimmick they had. I loved Kai and Tai with the indeed. That was awesome.
When they dubbed it over with the super deep American dub voice. Uh-huh. And it was awesome.
Yeah, it was sweet. It was great.
It's the best gimmick that they ever had, except for Taka getting a concussion at the Royal Rumble.
I thought you were gonna say when they tried to chop off Val Venus's pee-pee.
Oh, yeah, they did do that. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Payback since it happened last night.
Yes.
All right, you watched it. I know you watched it. I don't know why I asked that question. We talked about it off air, but we did. You watched it, for those people listening at home.
I did watch it on WWE Network for $9.99.
What'd you think, overall?
It was a good pay-per-view. There was things that... were annoying about it.
Like what? What was you annoyed with? I'll tell you what I was annoyed with. Some of the endings to some of the matches were just piss poorly written, mapped out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like a lot of the endings. The matches themselves were very good. The endings to particularly the women's championship match and the main event, as well as the Cesaro and...
Miz.
The Cesaro and Miz one I kind of understood. That Cesaro couldn't win the belt right off the bat. He's got to, earn it.
Yeah, right.
But the fake Montreal screw job or Chicago...
Oh, that was terrible. Here's my question. As my colleague Adam Michaels said in a text, can't they just let it go? It's been 20 years. It's been almost 20 years. Just let it go.
What's sad is that Brett keeps dragging himself back into it. Like, he has the option...
Yeah.
To say, that's not what defines me anymore. Yeah. I was the, greatest champion of the 90s, arguably. I had a great career.
Exactly.
I'm a member of the Hart family, the Hart dynasty, whatever you want to call it. Like, he can define himself by that. Yet he lets WWE continue to drag him through the mud with the Montreal Screwjob.
Exactly. And it's not like Natalya couldn't find somebody else in her corner. Jim Neidhart's not doing anything.
Right.
Maybe she could find Teddy Hart. Oh, well, never mind. Maybe you don't want Teddy Hart on a WWE pay-per-view. Never mind.
Maybe not.
But there's plenty of hearts.
What's Tyson doing?
Exactly. What is TJ doing?
He's
collecting a check is what he's doing.
Didn't he have neck surgery or something?
He did have some neck surgery, yes. Okay. Very severe injury.
That was like 2 years ago.
I don't think it was 2 years ago.
Austin had neck surgery and 8 months later he's back on TV or something. I don't know.
Well, it just seems like 2 years. I think it's been less than that. I think it's only been like 8 months or so.
Well, then he was due to come back at Payback.
That's right. He could have. He should have. So the Chicago Screwjob. And actually, I know you said you didn't pay very close attention to the match, but it just seemed like Natalya and Charlotte were not on the same page. Like, there was a lot of, awkwardness to that match, and it just didn't have a good flow to it. Overall, I thought the match was bad, just from start to finish.
There's been a couple matches of Charlotte's that I've seen where... If she's not working with somebody that can compliment her, she has a bad match.
Yep, and I think that.
And
was
I think
it.
That was why she kept Bayley, Sasha Banks, and
Becky Lynch
so close because she can work with any of those three and have a great match.
Yep.
But then when she branches off and has a match with Paige or Natalya, it falls flat because her style just doesn't match there. She's way more physical, I guess, than them because she's bigger. But
Yeah, right.
It doesn't work well.
Uh-huh. I agree with you, too. I didn't much care for the end of... This is my thing. I didn't like the main event's ending because nothing seemed to be resolved.
Yeah.
It seemed like, okay, we're going to have this match. You think there's going to be some type of resolution. But there's really not, and 3 weeks later, we're going to have another match.
Yeah.
Which I kind of was like, I don't like that. I just don't like that. I want some type of resolution. Either Anderson and Gallows cheat, and AJ wins, or they try to cheat, that costs AJ the victory. Something that could have,
end in that match in a more, what's the word I'm looking for, like concrete manner, yeah, in the way it was.
Or the opposite could have been that it ended in a way where we don't have a resolution, we right. have to go to the next pay-per-view.
Right.
I think that would have worked out better if they'd done something where the ref had to call the match because they were just fighting all over
right.
the arena. Like
right.
their tempers got the better of them and they were breaking tables. Kind of like how they did Undertaker and Brock Lesnar at the first time that they met at Unforgiven.
Right.
Where they just called the match because they were like, we can't control these guys. Like,
right, right, right. No, I
that
agree.
That would have been better because then it's like, okay, well, the next one, we're going to let it all go and it's going to be Extreme Rules.
Yes, I think that would have been much better. And the false endings were the count out and then the DQ. Why? I understand why they did it.
Yeah.
To push the Stephanie and Shane partnership. We'll get to that in a minute, too. I thought that the starting and the stopping was kind of lame, too. Yeah. I felt that those two, but I think they had a very good match.
Yes.
Minus those things. I thought that they had a pretty good match. They told a very good story. The phenomenal forearm through the table, that was a great spot.
Yeah, I loved that. I didn't see that coming at all.
No. And in fact, I couldn't wait for them to show the replay because I'm like, wow, how did they do that? You know what I mean? Like, I was literally intrigued by it. But so that match overall, meh. And then you mentioned the other one, which I did miss part of it because I had to go to the bathroom so bad.
Small bladder.
Well, it wasn't that. I hadn't gone to the bathroom in forever. You know, I started watching at 7 by like 8:30. I was like, I gotta go.
He'd been holding it ever since that main event at WrestleMania.
Well, pretty much.
Which just ended right before.
Right, exactly.
if it's still going on.
So it was The Miz against Cesaro. The last thing I saw was, and again, I believe was The Miz. There was a distraction on the ring apron with Zayn and Owens, and so Cesaro knocked him off. Then there was the roll up in the pin. I think that's the last thing I saw, correct? That's,
yeah, there was like, he had him. Cesaro had him in the crossface.
Right, yes.
And then he was tapping, and Cesaro went to the ref and was like, hey, he's tapping, and then he got the roll-up.
Right.
And then...
Oh, that's what happened. Okay, yeah.
Then they counted the three, and Zayn and Owens, I don't remember if they came into the ring and got thrown out, or if they just continued to brawl around the ring. But then, like, Cesaro hit the forearm, brought him in the ring, hit him with the equalizer, which Miz is a pussy because he blocked it. He, like, dropped his knee so that he didn't have to feel
anything. I missed that. I missed that part, but all right.
And then everyone started doing their finishers to each other, and I think Kevin Owens went to hit Miz with a powerbomb, and Maryse pulled him out of the ring. And Kevin Owens stayed in the ring holding the belt.
That's where I joined, where I saw him in the ring with the belt and that. So, I thought the Miz and Cesaro's match was okay.
Yeah.
That was good. I didn't like the ending because I thought that was too confusing.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I think the Miz is getting a big push that he probably doesn't deserve. Let's just be honest. I mean,
yeah.
His work in Santa's Little Helper was phenomenal. I'll admit, I watched it.
I didn't.
Okay.
I did watch Marine 4. I can't even lie and say which one it was.
Whichever Marine stars The Miz.
Yeah. That one. I watched it.
You didn't get that? That was direct to DVD. That wasn't it. That wasn't at Marcus
no,
Sanders?
I don't think so. We might have had a special group of just The Miz that came to see it, but we didn't.
No, Maryse would come with him. Or is this movie so bad she won't even come?
Right.
Oh, okay. Anyways.
She was like, oh, stubbed my toe walking out of the house.
Twisted an ankle. I can't make it. She, by far, bringing her back in the fold was a smart idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's some cross-promotion because they want her on Divas, you know, Total Divas later on this year, but I think that was a smart idea.
Yeah, it gives him added heat.
Right. Exactly.
Just because, like, him by himself... He's kind of always, when he's been at his best in terms of the stories that he's been booked with, he's had a companion to pull heat on him. He had Alex Riley
Alex Riley, John Morrison before that.
When he was the champion, he had them to gain heat on to pull him out of the ring when he was about to get his comeuppance.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only thing that she's really there for, and it's good.
Yeah, and good eye candy. Let's not lie. She's an attractive lady.
Yes.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Alex Riley?
Is he
still doing the NXT thing? Because he was the announcer in NXT, and then he was going to fight Kevin Owens, and he looks, you know, like he's completely.
He looks like he went and found the old Alex Riley and ate him. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. He's jacked beyond belief. Whatever happened to him? Is he?
He's been wrestling for NXT, but like not much on.
Okay.
TV, I believe.
All
right. I've seen bits and pieces where he's actually been wrestling, like
okay.
the house show NXT all right, circuit. All right. So. Okay. I think it's more in his case. He doesn't want to give up the in-ring stuff. And rather than be on NXT, he's like, well, I want to wrestle, but I'll wrestle off TV in NXT, and I'll go and do the circuit there. So he's like kind of doing their indie.
Is he doing jobs? He's got to be doing jobs.
I haven't really seen him do... I've never really watched any of his matches, because from what I understand, they've all been off TV. He did squash one guy, but, I mean, he jobbed to Kevin Owens when they were in Columbus.
Right, yeah, that's right, yeah.
But, I mean, I think if he wrestles a name that, like, is a newer guy, like, if you were to wrestle the Drifter guy.
Oh, Elias.
Yeah, Samson. Elias Samson, yeah. I think if he were to wrestle him, he would do a job to him.
Right.
But who knows?
All right, we'll talk more NXT in a little bit. Okay. I caught a couple episodes. I was behind a little bit, but... okay, I think the other big thing that came out of this pay-per-view was the injury to Enzo Amore.
Yes.
Which was unfortunate and scary. Because you and I had the same exact thought. Because the thought went through my mind, oh my God, it's Owen Hart again.
Yep.
And I mean, I hate to say it, but I was like, oh God. Just the way he flopped out of the ring, I was like, holy cow. And even for a nanosecond, I thought, is it? Nope, never mind. Because as soon as the ref pushed away Gotch, I'm like, no, he's hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, like when I saw him do whatever it was that he was trying to do before they even showed the commotion, I was like, whatever it was that he was trying to do, he messed up. He butchered it.
Yeah.
And then when they went to grab him and he wasn't responsive, the look on his face, it didn't look like he was breathing at first. So it's like, he's dead. Like, he's absolutely dead. Or at the very least, he has a broken neck.
Yeah.
And then when the ref went away and brought the X up, that, like, erratic breathing that he was doing, I was like, oh, man, something really bad happened.
But, luckily,
yeah,
just a concussion. A severe concussion. Yeah. He was. I saw on Twitter, they had pictures of him walking around, you know. And apparently, we'll have to go through the protocol for concussions with WWE, which I don't know what that is, by the way. I have no idea. I don't know what that protocol is.
I think it's texting Colt Cabana and listening to music. I think that's the...
Pretty sure that's not. But anyways, you got to feel bad, too, because how long you think he's going to have to be on the shelf for a while?
That was my main thought. After, like, they kind of carted him off, I was like, hopefully he's okay. One.
Right, sure. Right.
And the second thought was, that really sucks for their push.
Yeah.
Like, they were on TV, they were getting that push. Right. I don't know anyone who would have thought that... I thought they were going to go over on the
Vikings. I did, too. I thought that we were looking to do a New Day against Cass and Enzo, because I think that, you know, let's be honest, they're the two most entertaining groups. I mean, you know, look, Enzo and Cass are not the greatest wrestlers. Let's just say it. They're not. They are they're the New Age Outlaws.
Right.
Let's just be honest. Yeah. But they are entertaining. I mean, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
They're not the best wrestlers, but they're the most entertaining.
Sure. Correct.
And I think that it definitely puts a break to everything that they have on them for TV for the short period of time, but at the same time, it's also good for the vaudevillains because now, like, I guess by default, they'll get to work with the New Day, and they'll be able to do great stuff with them because New Day can riff on them just like Enzo and Cass did.
Sure.
But it, yeah, definitely a scary thing that happened.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they put Cass back down on NXT with Carmella. I mean, they could do that, possibly.
The big thing that I don't know is how long he's shelved for. I don't know what their, like, minimum time you're on.
Right, that's what I was. Yeah, that's what I was saying about the concussion protocol. I don't know what the minimum amount of time is. Right,
where you. And I guess if he's shelved, like he can't wrestle, can he not be on TV either? Does he have to sit at home and rest?
Could he be a manager?
Can he still travel and do? I don't know. I guess
I don't know. That's a good question. Where's Chris Nowinski when you need him?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know where he is, actually.
He's in that Legacy Institute that studies concussions.
Yes. He wasn't in the movie Concussion, though.
Nah. He should have been.
He should have.
He should have been the star of it. It should have been a WWE film.
Well, he did work with
Yeah, he did. That the actual doctor. Guy. Yeah. Most definitely.
They dissected Chris Benoit's brain.
Oh, okay.
With permission from his dad. I remember hearing that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, he was one of the guys with that guy who kind of came up with the definition of what a concussion is.
Actually, in all honesty, probably shouldn't joke about concussions. I had one this summer from hockey, and it's really no fun. It really is no fun.
I don't know if I've ever had a concussion.
Here's the scary part. I did have a concussion. It was, honestly, it's the lamest story ever. Like, literally, I lost an edge and fell down, and a guy tried to skate past me, and he slipped. He cut to get around me. He fell, and his knee went in the back of my head. Saw stars. A couple minutes later, I felt fine after sitting on the bench, so I'm like, oh, hell, I'll just finish the game. Driving home, I started getting the headache, and I'm like, oh, shit. And the next day, like, I just didn't feel right. I felt really out of it. Went to the doctors, which it was pointed out by my girlfriend, maybe you shouldn't have driven up the street to the doctors. Probably not, but I did. And they said, hey, look, you have a slight one, a really, really slight one. We couldn't even grade it. Like, that's how slight we think it is. But the scary part was, Ben, I'm like, you know what? This has happened to me before. Like, I had that thought. Like, I'm like, I have played hockey games. And then I remember vividly going to work one day going, man, I just don't feel good. Like, I feel lightheaded. I feel spacey. I must not have slept well. That's what I thought it was.
Like, right.
Shit. That was a concussion. And I went to work the next day, you know? So, I mean, in all honesty, they're really not, we really shouldn't probably make fun of them, but, hey, by the way, just going back to the Miz and Cesaro, I do love the James Bond entrance.
It's awesome.
Cesaro.
That is awesome.
And the very fact that everything just rips off, it's hilarious. I love it. It's awesome.
I liked it because, like, that was his, at first when he came back and he was wearing the suit and he ripped it off, it was kind of clever, but now that it's the standard, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. I like that. I hope that they push Cesaro for the IC belt. I mean, he deserves it since he does not have a tag team partner right now. Tyson Kidd, of course, was his partner, and they had a hell of a tag team. So hopefully they do something with him. Let's see. Dean Ambrose against Y2J. I thought that was a decent match.
Good match, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't awesome, it wasn't bad, but certainly you said it best, Y2J hasn't lost a step yet.
Yeah. I think he can pull a decent match out of anyone. Like, he hasn't, I can't think of a bad match that he's had recently. And it's good that he's working with a lot of the guys. I mean, He's the only one I can say that has worked a match against Stone Cold, The Rock, Sami Zayn, and AJ Styles. Like,
well, I think he realizes that his role right now is to build new guys.
Right.
And let's be honest, how many people would do that?
Yeah, there's not many.
There's not many. So he's willing to build the Sami Zayn and build the AJ Styles and build Dean Ambrose. Not that you could argue that he didn't need to build AJ Styles, but still,
right.
You know, Fandango from a couple years ago at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
there's
put him
one.
Over.
Yeah, put him over. So, I mean, you know, obviously he realizes that, you know, it takes new blood to come in, and he's got to be, what, like 42,
43? Something like that.
So, I mean, he's not young, but he still manages to hold his own.
I think he's just having fun right now. And
sure.
That was why I brought up the people that he's worked with, because He's like, I'll put him over as long as I get to work with him, because it'll be fun.
I think, I did not get a chance to read on the internet, but apparently there was a teaser about that he may be asking for some time off again.
Which wouldn't surprise
me. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, he does that. He's like Lesnar. He's like The Undertaker. They come and go. And I guess when you've done it for as long as he has, 25 some odd years, I guess that's the perk that you get.
Yeah. And it's getting ready to be summer. He's probably going to want to do a tour with Fozzy.
Yeah,
so
right. Yeah.
It makes sense that he would want to take some time off TV.
Although I've never listened to one single Fozzy song. Have you?
I mean, yes.
You have?
Yeah. You're
dragging your feet. It wasn't very good, was it? Is it your cup of tea or not?
It's not my cup of tea, I would say that.
Okay, all right.
If you listen to Fozzy and you love him, more power to you. But I remember when they just recently, like, recently within, like, the last year or two, put out an album, and Chris Jericho on his podcast was talking about how his single from it was like one of the number one songs that strip clubs were having dancers dance to. So he was like, he's like, if it works, it works. I can't really knock it.
Yeah, because let's be honest, you know when you go to strip club, you're going to hear some songs. Yeah. You know you're going to hear Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue. Right. Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
Crazy Bitch by, who did that?
I think it was Buck Cherry.
Yeah. You're going to hear that.
Hot for Teacher.
Hot for Teacher, of course.
So, and I mean, if he's in the leagues with Motley Crue and Van Halen, he's like, hey, I'm all right with it.
He's got it.
Yeah.
I used to always say if I was a strip club DJ, like, I'd pick the most weird thing for the girl to dance to. Like, because let's be honest, I mean, you can bump and grind to Closer. It's not that hard. Like, I would pick, like, the theme to Mighty Mouse. That's what I would play. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One. That's an interesting. Okay. Yeah. Moving along. Yes. Moving along. All right. So the McMahons, apparently both kids get to run Raw.
Yeah.
Which that was anticlimactic if you needed a definition for anticlimactic, there it is.
That was one of the things that I felt like was wrong about the show, but I felt like it dragged way longer than it needed to because of the injury in the beginning. It cut the show short. So they were just like, they were scrambling to fill time. So that dragged on. And the fans were like, I don't care. I don't care. Just go on to the main event. We know what's next. They really should not have done it before the main event because everybody there wanted to see AJ Styles.
Yeah. And though Vince did get some grief, CM Punk chance was hilarious. Yeah, I just think it drug on. And what is their problem with, like, so what if you were 8 minutes short? You know what I mean? Like, what's the big deal on a pay-per-view that you lost 8 minutes or whatever that match was supposed to be, that tag match, right? So what? You go to 10:30. What's the big deal? I mean, I'm sure contractually they have something going on with the pay-per-view provider.
Right.
But anymore, how much of their business is coming from pay-per-view?
It's all coming really, from I think it's all overseas pay-per-view because I don't know any cable or satellite provider in the States that carries anything but WrestleMania anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
so yeah, I don't know why they wanted to end it at 10:30. I think mostly it's because they were premiering that show, and it didn't go live on the network until after the pay per view.
All right, okay.
So
I don't know. You could go to the wrap up table again with Renee Young, who was looking splendid again, if I may say.
Yeah,
I mean, Renee Young. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, Dean Ambrose is dating way above probably his level, you know?
Yeah.
Which, good for Dean Ambrose.
Yes, definitely.
Well done, my friend.
He definitely reached, she definitely settled.
Okay, all right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that he's a bad-looking guy, but...
Well, I don't know. He's not a handsome fellow. Let's just, you know, if you were going to name handsome WWE superstars... I mean, you wouldn't probably name Dean Ambrose, let's be honest.
Seth Rollins would be in the list before him.
Okay, let's go on the spot. Who would you put on that list? I mean, it's cool.
Handsome?
Yeah, handsome fellows. Of the WWE. Who would you put on that list?
I mean, there's John Cena, obviously. He's got a square jaw.
Two dudes are sitting here talking about... So nothing is obvious,
hey,
Ben.
We're men, and we're not afraid to say that we love other men.
I have said many times, I have some man crushes. There's nothing wrong
with that. Mine is Ryan Gosling.
Weird.
Hardcore.
So is mine.
Oh! It started with Drive. After I saw Drive, I fell in love with him.
I just gotta say, I don't know when it was for me, but Ryan Gosling can play so many different roles so well.
That's why I love him.
I mean, yeah, that's why I have a man crush. I mean... Crazy Stupid Love, he was very good at that, and then he goes and plays that kind of weird, creepy guy in Drive, to The Believer, one of his early roles, where he's the anti-Semitic Jew. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he can do it all. He's the great American actor of the modern times. Yeah.
And he's in a movie coming out in May with Russell Crowe
called
The Nice Guys.
Yeah.
And that movie looks hilarious.
It does look good.
I don't think I've ever really seen him in a comedic role, so it's interesting for me to see him kind of be a goofy actor in this movie.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
That you have a man crush on Ryan Gosling, as do I.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anywho, John Cena would be on your list.
The Rock.
Handsome. The Rock, yes, I think The Rock would be on mine as well. You said Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins, yeah, because he's got that, like, alternative guy look to him.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
The punk emo kids that watch wrestling would point at him. They'd be like, John Cena is not my guy because he's the jock football player.
Yeah.
This is the guy who has a garage band in high school.
Uh-huh.
And he's that kind of pretty boy.
Okay.
Beyond that...
I'm going to say I would put The Rock on my list if we're mentioning handsome fellows.
Yeah.
Who else would I put on that? The Miz, let's be honest, he's a handsome fellow.
Yeah.
He does have movie star good looks.
And he pulled Maurice, so...
He pulled Maurice, so there you go.
I don't know, maybe,
I'm trying to think, who else? Who else?
Finn Balor. He's got the accent.
He does, he does.
And
he does.
He's not a terrible looking... No. Most British guys look like William Regal.
Well, he's not British, first of all, he's Irish.
Finn Balor? Is he Irish? Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's the United Kingdom, it's one island, they're like...
Well, unless it disintegrates, you know, there's all those countries want to pull out of the UK now. I don't know if you know that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't follow that kind of stuff.
Politics, John. Pah!
Right.
Sha!
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Finn Balor, a handsome fellow, most definitely.
Not Samoa Joe.
No, Samoa Joe is not a handsome fellow at all.
No.
No, but anyways. Okay, so let's talk. What other matches do we have? We have a couple other. Okay, so the pre-show, we had Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin, who, again, I gotta say, actually had a pretty good match, and it pains me to say that, because I really do not want to like Baron Corbin. I have not liked him in the past, but I must admit, he is stepping up his game a little bit, and is actually doing pretty well.
And I want to go out, like, if I hadn't seen the match, I would say, well, yeah, of course he had a good match. He worked Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler could make a chair look like $1 million,
sure,
because he could sell the crap out of it. Right. But it really wasn't him. Like, he works the crowd,
he's getting into that character, and I think that's good for the guy. Again, I don't know.
I mentioned it earlier, I think it's a case where in NXT, he didn't work with their system, and I think that now that he's on the main roster, however they're using him,
mm-hmm,
it works better.
Because
there's been guys that have worked in NXT and haven't worked on the main roster, so maybe he's a case
like,
of a
like Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze has fallen flat on his face.
Yes. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's super unfortunate, because that dude's talented.
Yeah.
Okay, in the last match, Kalisto versus Ryback.
Which smelled.
Oh my god, it was awful. It was not a very good match. I am not a fan of Kalisto. I think the guy tries to do too much too fast, and therefore his maneuvers come off as sloppy. And yeah. I don't wish to be that guy that's overly critical, being that I've never wrestled. So, but it seemed like, in fact, you know, we talked about it, that one particular springboard move to the outside, Ryback saved his life because he was going to miss and hit the apron and everything.
Yeah, he was, like, doing the wobbly legs thing, and then he saw him do it and was like, oh, crap, I got to catch him.
Yeah.
And, like, he's got to be careful, because if he does that against Miz, Miz isn't going to catch him.
Well.
And he wouldn't have the body to catch him
with
Ryback.
Right, yeah.
So Ryback saved his life because, oh, 175-pound guy, I can drag that all day.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas
somebody else who's a little bit smaller, he just dead.
Exactly. So overall, I liked Payback. I thought it was a good pay-per-view. You know, I don't know if it was as good as some of the other ones in the past, but still, I thought it was pretty solid.
It was a good follow-up to WrestleMania.
Sure.
I mean, this pay-per-view, I went through it, and with the exception of Cesaro and The Miz, there was an NXT wrestler in every match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And there was this was a decent pay-per-view with no Seth Rollins, no John Cena.
Right.
No Triple H.
Oh, good.
No Undertaker. Like, the guys.
No Lesnar.
Yeah, like, no Kane, no Big Show. Everybody that was on the card was, for the most part, the indie guys that made it.
Right. You got a point there. I didn't even realize that when you mentioned that. I looked over at my list and I'm like, I'll be damned. Because even Dean Ambrose came up through that system of NXT. Of course, it was FCW still there. But yeah, most definitely. Now, my big question is, how do they follow that up? Because legitimately, 3 weeks from now... sorry, literally, not legitimately. I misspoke. Literally, 3 weeks from now, we have another pay-per-view. And I hate this. I just don't... I hate you have two pay-per-views in a month. Why would I even want to watch Extreme Rules?
Well, the problem was is that they had Royal Rumble and then Roadblock.
Fastlane.
Or Fastlane. Then they had Roadblock.
Then they had Construction Zone.
Well, because it was like...
Exit Closed.
It was... January was Rumble.
Right.
Fastlane was in February. Right. March, they inserted the I don't know, the wannabe two-hour pay-per-view, which was one match.
Yeah.
Which was Roadblock.
Right.
And yes. So the entire month of March, there was not a pay-per-view until WrestleMania in the beginning of April. Right. So I think it's just like their timeline is screwed up.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of this because you know that pretty much we're just going to get a bunch of rematches from Payback with stipulations. There'll be a Money in the Bank ladder match probably. We already know we're getting AJ Styles and Reigns.
In an Extreme Rules, yeah.
In Extreme Rules.
Probably be Usos versus...
Gallows and Anderson. Right. Some type of gimmick match.
Yeah.
I don't know. There'll be a women's match that'll probably... Hopefully they'll put Brett and Rick in a cage and suspend them from the ceiling, you know.
Well, it'll be a submission match. That's what
it'll be. Oh, that'll be...
It'll be Natalya versus Charlotte in a submission match because she's got the sharpshooter, she's got the... Figure eight, which doesn't make any sense because she doesn't stand on eight appendages. So,
well, I think just go with it. Just go with it. Okay, it's a cute name.
Yeah,
for her. So I'll be interested to see what they do for Extreme Rules, but I'm just not very excited for it.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, let's just be honest. So, all right, let's talk NXT because I caught up a little bit on NXT to see what was going on. Number one, I was still surprised that they're showing stuff from Dallas. Recently, because I guess they taped a bunch of stuff. Yeah, the last one was from Dallas, The one that had Asuka against Eva Marie.
Asuka.
Yes.
Not Asuka.
Asuka.
It's Asuka.
Asuka.
Yeah. You're putting an extra vowel in there. It's just Asuka.
Asuka.
Which is spelled Asuka or something?
Yeah. Well, see, now you know why I'm confused.
Yeah.
I call her, like, crazy Japanese girl that'll kill you.
Right.
Yeah, basically. So they had that. They had the Revival against, unfortunately, 3.0. They got no love. For those that don't know, 3.0, Shane Matthews, Scott Parker.
Oh, TMDK?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They were the opponents of the Revival and got no love, got squashed. I'll tell you right now.
Those
guys are good.
I remember seeing them at a Ring of Honor show in Dayton.
Yeah.
And they did this spot where they did a bot, or maybe it was in Cincinnati. I don't remember. But they did a body slam, and then they tag out. And then the other guy came in, picked him up, body slammed him, tagged out. And they did that for like, you know, a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And then they went on to win some kind of like number one contendership for the Ring of Honor tag titles, but then they couldn't sign a contract or something, so they went away to Japan and did their thing. But they had decent matches with everybody that they worked with.
Yeah, they did. I remember them from Chikara. They were stays in Chikara a lot. And so, but those guys got no love, man, and got pretty much put over by the Revival. I like Dawson and Dash. I think they would be better with a mouthpiece.
Yeah,
I do, because I don't think that they are very good on the mic, but I like the fact that they're kind of like that throwback team. This had the Hype Brothers against Blake and Murphy.
Is that what happened to Zack Ryder?
Yeah, he's back with the Hype Bros.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Are you not a fan of Mojo Rawley? Mojo Rawley?
No,
I'm not either. I just don't get the...
I think they put Zack Ryder with him because he was...
Yeah, nothing else to do.
Yeah. I mean, he's not a guy that people are really behind, so you put him with a tag team where they can be comical and silly try to get over, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because people want to see, they want to see Zack Ryder succeed. They don't care about Mojo Rawley. Everybody wants to see Zack Ryder succeed.
Right. The main event, Nakamura against Elias Samson.
Oh, okay. I didn't get to watch that match. From what I understand, it was good.
You know what? I got to be honest. At that particular point, when I was watching this weekend, I was like, I have to go run some errands, and I just assumed that Nakamura was going to beat the ever-loving hell out of that guy, and I'm like, and I don't like Elias Samson. I don't get the gimmick. I don't understand. First of all, I don't understand, why are drifters from Pittsburgh? That's what I don't get. Because they announce you from Pittsburgh, PA, but if you're a drifter, wouldn't you be from a different city every single different week? Because you drift!
Yeah.
I mean, right?
I don't know. I mean, is Pittsburgh like the drifter capital of the world? I don't
think so.
I've been to Pittsburgh technically twice, but it was on one trip, so once.
Well,
but it was passed through to go to New York City.
Sure, okay.
So, and there's a lot of homeless people near the station of...
Well, yeah, I can tell you that. But name a bus station. Come on. Have you gone to the bus station in Columbus? There's a lot of weird people hanging out down there, too.
No, I fortunately got to drive to Cleveland for that bus station. And it's close enough to downtown that there weren't that many homeless people hanging out.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm just saying, when you go to the bus station, there's some weird ones. I mean, yeah. Hey. There's some weird ones in the Providence bus station, but I digress. So,
yeah, I haven't seen any of his work. I don't know if he's an indie guy or if he's a WWE made product.
No, I think he's an indie guy. I think I remember reading. He's I want to say he's from like the New York State area. Like he's that indie region up there. But yeah, I just don't get the character, so I didn't watch it. You know, I probably would 99% certainty say Nakamura went over, obviously.
Yeah, I think he's the guy that they're pushing real hard.
Yeah,
right
most
now.
Definitely, most definitely. And then, you know, let's talk about it. They put the belt on Samoa Joe at a house show, no less.
I thought that was weird.
You know what? I thought it was weird, but I think it's part of their marketing plan. Because they want people to come to NXT. Yeah, right.
Go see NXT. Anything can happen.
Exactly. I mean, I don't want to reveal it, but there's been some OCW title changes that have happened on smaller shows that do it. Because if you don't come to OCW, guess what? You might miss a title change.
Exactly.
So I think that's the marketing behind it. And
yeah.
No doubt, I think there's been rumors that Finn Balor's been a little bit nicked up here and there, giving some time off. I personally, as I shared this with you off air, I was hoping that in Payback, this is what I hoped would happen. Because I think it's pretty much obvious that Gallows and Anderson and AJ are going to be a unit.
Yeah.
So I was hoping that Reigns would win somehow. Anderson and Gallows would turn on AJ. Balor gets in the mix. Then we have, like, the civil war among the Bullet Club members.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that that would have been awesome. And that would have been a total swerve for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, and... I think it's something that the fans wouldn't have seen coming.
Yeah.
And it would have been great because, like, cool. Oh, everybody thought they were going to go this way and they went that way.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that the people who want to see the Bullet Club in WWE would have rejected it and hated it because of their severe hatred for some odd reason with Roman Reigns.
Well, I don't know. I think that percentage is probably very small.
Yes.
But I think it would have been cool. But nonetheless, I mean...
And it would have been a great way to get heat on Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely. But nonetheless, Samoa Joe's the NXT champ. So
yes.
It'll be interesting to see who they elevate to take him on. If Finn Balor's going to be gone for a little bit. Who would you like to see? You think Nakamura is going to be the next person that they push against him? I would have said Austin Aries, but I think now they're talking about doing that big, giant, global cruiserweight tournament thingy coming up in June in NXT.
Like Eric Young and...
I think there has been rumors that they have talked to a lot of people, some Evolve guys to come in and do this, like, tournament where they have a trophy for that, and supposedly Austin Aries would be a focal point in that tournament.
I mean, it would be nice if they had... a cruiserweight champion again, and I think NXT would be a good place to do it.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Now that the NXT brand is a little bigger,
yeah,
and they only have the three belts, I think, honestly, a TV title would work there good.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, yeah.
But that's obviously a place that you don't want to overload with belts.
Nope.
Especially since it's a developmental and you want to be able to ascend forward. But
sure.
Yeah, I mean, a cruiserweight belt would work great there. And if they did a cruiserweight tournament, since they're tending to bring in more indie guys who are cruiserweights, it's a good way for people who aren't as familiar with somebody's work to bring them in and, oh, this is a cruiserweight guy, we're going to build him up, and then he can go to the main stage and push for the United States Championship.
Sure.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see who they bring up or who they elevate to take on Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, I'm just thinking of some of the bigger names that are there.
Yeah, Smart Money says Nakamura.
Nakamura,
is the
probably.
Guy.
Yeah, I think so.
But, yeah, I can't think
Whatever happened to Kenta, a.k.a. Hideo Itami?
Hideo Itami?
Yeah, he's been on the show with that shoulder injury. Isn't he due back?
Yeah, maybe he makes a push.
I don't know.
I mean, I think he was getting a push.
He was before he got hurt, and then they had to write him off.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that. But
Maybe they do a Far East faction and Asuka, Nakamura, and Hideo Itami are like
guys. The Orient Express.
Right. And they try and cut promos and it's all broken English. And then they have Funaki come out and translate it all.
That would be awesome.
Yes. Funaki is the figurehead. He's the Sonny Ono of it.
Sonny Ono? Wow. Yeah. I never thought there would be a Sonny Ono reference on this podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Speaking of Japanese, though, the Japanese wrestlers, I have thoroughly enjoyed. Now, I haven't watched them in 2 weeks, but I thoroughly enjoyed Ring of Honor's product on TV over the last few weeks because they taped a bunch of stuff out of their pay-per-view at that casino, Sam's Casino, or wherever they
had. Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Sam's Old Town Casino, I think it's called. First of all, I like how it looks on TV. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then they have all those Japanese guys that are coming in, like Goto and who's the TV champion now? I want to say Ishii, I think is his name. Yeah. And I mean, so bringing in those guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's really been interesting. I've liked what they've done with their television product over the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's been hard for me to catch a lot of Ring of Honor just because I don't have cable. And the only thing that they've been broadcasting since Claire owns it, the only thing they broadcast on the Fox late at night is now reruns from like 4 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. So if you watch it super late, you'll catch like...
Kevin Steen and Scum?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's been... It was like...
Because it's also on Comet, which is owned by Sinclair.
Yes.
They play it like Wednesday nights at 10. I think it's on Saturdays on the CW at like 11 at night.
Yes. But the ones that are on Fox are all old reruns.
Really?
Yep.
So it's not like the one at 12:30 if you DVR it, it's repeats. Yep. Oh, shit.
And from like, I'm going to kick your ass at Final Battle 12.
Oh, jeez. Like,
wow.
Okay. I think it's also, and it's also on something else because... on my cable, we get something called like American Sports Channel or American Sports Network, which is also owned by
Sinclair.
Sinclair, and they have it on there like at a weird like Mondays at 3 a.m.
For a brief period of time on Destination America because apparently Destination America was trying their hand in the wrestling market because they had TNA and Ring of Honor and then they both failed on there because five people in the world watch Destination America.
Exactly. Or get it.
And one of them is a wrestling fan. So.
but the Ring of Honor one was brilliant because it was just the replay of their syndicated show. So they had nothing. They had no overhead to produce there.
Yeah. That's what they tended to do before they were on other networks. They would have their pay-per-view and then they would take two or three of them and put them on like... for the 2 weeks after they were filming.
Right. They have a pay-per-view coming up this Sunday, on Mother's Day, by the way. Ring of Honor. Yes, they do. With Colt Cabana returning to the company to take on Jay Lethal for the Ring of Honor heavyweight title.
Hmm.
Which is interesting because I believe, if I remember the story, Cabana kind of left on sour terms. Now, granted, that was when Cornette was in charge, you know.
There was a lot of people I feel like left when Cornette was in charge on sour terms. I mean... Steen had his issues with him because...
Generico.
Yeah. I don't know if he left on sour terms, but he did leave.
Right. I think Carino and Cornette do not get along. I thought they had a lot of grief between them. It's interesting they bring Colt Cabana back. I think, if I remember correctly, I'm not sure what the storyline is behind that. I think that recently Jay Lethal at their live shows have been doing like a... like Kurt Angle did, you know, where I'm going to take on a local guy, you know, and beat them. So I don't know if that ties into it. Like I said, I haven't watched Ring of Honor in about 2 or 3 weeks, so.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. So they got them coming up. I'm trying to think what some of the other matches are that are coming up for this.
I'm sure Young Bucks will be on it.
Young Bucks are on it, of course. I think it's the Young Bucks against the Motor City Machine Guns versus, I want to say... All Night Express, but I'm not sure on that one. I do know that the Young Bucks were on a live show in West Warwick, Rhode Island for Ring of Honor, which I laughed at this. They took on the All Night Express, and they were accompanied by the Cleaner, but it wasn't Kenny Omega. They put a broom. They had a broom with a Kenny Omega shirt on it, which I thought was funny. I don't pop much for the Young Bucks. I'm not a huge fan of the Bucks. I just will say that out loud.
You will when they debut on NXT.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know.
You say that now.
I say that now, but 3 years from now.
People thought they would never see...
You're right.
Goldberg on Raw. There he was.
You're going to go with Goldberg? Really?
I mean, I'm just picking names out of the hat at this point.
We got a lot of chance for Goldberg last night at the pay-per-view. Of course, it was when Ryback was in the ring, but I mean...
Yeah, I think the Chicago fans were... I am annoyed with Chicago fans every time that they do something there. It's like the only thing that they can do is, hey, CM Punk's from this town, so all we're going to do is chant his name. That's all they seem to want to do. Every time somebody's in the ring and they don't like the match, they chant for CM Punk.
Okay.
And I think that they drink his Kool-Aid.
Okay.
So when he did the CM Punk bit to get under their skin and got heat on himself, they were just grasping at straws and chanting Goldberg.
He
doesn't have an undefeated streak right now.
Well, but he is very much like Goldberg. Come on.
In the sense that he's a big guy.
He's a big, bald, white dude.
Yeah. I mean, the big, bald, white guy. You could say Mojo Riley's like Goldberg because he's a big, bald, white guy. Like, he has a mouth. He's not stupid on the mic like Goldberg is, where he just yells and, I want to fight you. And then they have a squash match.
Come on, let's be honest, though. Okay. The way in which WCW pushed Goldberg was smart.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that was a sheer brilliance on whoever came up with that idea.
Well, yeah, you push him out, you put him out there, you say, just beat the crap out of him, come back.
Yeah.
And at the time, it worked.
It worked.
But
I don't know if it would work again.
No, and then we've seen
they've
that
tried it.
As
yeah,
it worked.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, Ryback is a much better worker than Goldberg.
I don't know.
He's a much better worker than Goldberg.
Okay, if you're comparing him against Goldberg, okay.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm not. No, he's not better than like Kurt Angle in the ring. But
he is better than Christopher Daniels, John. No, no, he is not. So I mean, all right, I'll give you that one. Ryback is better than Goldberg.
Yes.
So, but Goldberg had the cooler entrance.
Goldberg had a sweet entrance. He had the sweet music.
He did. That was awesome.
I mean, his music is definitely top five entrance musics of all time in wrestling.
Ooh, okay. All right. Who else is on that list?
Stone Cold.
Okay.
Glass.
No, wait. We're talking about actual, like, pre-manufactured music for... We're not talking about just, like, you know, like they do on the indies, where we throw a CD in the player and we play it. Some Billy Squire song or something. We're talking about actual music.
Right, music that was made
for a person. Okay, yeah. So you said Stone Cold.
Stone Cold is probably on the list.
I'm going with The Undertaker. I mean, hands down.
Yeah.
The Undertaker's music. The gong. That was awesome.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, Real American. You can't. Yeah, exactly.
Although, even though that is a song written by a band, so I don't know if that one could technically...
I think that was written for him.
Was it, though?
Well, technically it was written for Wyndham and Rotundo, but they had already left.
Oh.
So they decided to use it. If you listen to the wrestling album, they actually say that on the wrestling album.
Oh, okay.
So, because the wrestling album, for those that don't know, in between songs there were like bits with Jesse and Vince. Like they would talk in between songs. So, yeah.
And little known fact, if you go to a bar that has a Touch Tunes, you get on the app and you search Real American and it's on there, it'll play it from the wrestling album because you'll get to hear after the song's done and everyone's like, why did I just listen to this?
Yeah.
Then you actually get to hear Jesse Ventura talk about the next song.
Yeah.
But it doesn't play the next song. It just plays whatever song somebody played after you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's fun.
But Rick Derringer plays Real American in concert. I know that because I went to a free concert at Columbus Commons 2 years ago.
And Rick Derringer was there.
Yes, he was there. And literally, my girlfriend and I got there. We didn't quite apparently pay attention that the event actually started at 6:30. I thought it was like doors open at 6:30, but no, the actual band. So we got there like 7:30, and Rick Derringer was playing. I'm like, oh no! And we, no kidding, put down our blanket to lay down on, or to sit down on the grass at Columbus Commons, and I hear, this is a song that I wrote 30-some-odd years ago, and it's about being true and being patriotic. I'm like, no! And now many people may remember from Hulk Hogan as a Real American. I'm like, yes! Four minutes later, I'm like, let's go home. We don't need to stay.
Oh, yeah, no. Done. You know,
Blues Traveler was the headliner. I'm like, fuck Blues Traveler. Let's go. I can go.
Wow, Blues Traveler was playing a free show?
Yeah.
Man.
And Sly and the Family Stone, but it's not Sly because he's in prison, so it was the
Family Stone. So it's the Family Stone.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And
Rick Derringer, and I forget who else was the fourth act that we missed, because, again, I thought it meant at 6:30, doors opened, not the concert started at 6:30. So...
Blues Traveler.
Blues Traveler.
Falling off.
Yeah, skinny John Popper. Not obese John Popper.
I wouldn't. I'd leave. I would. I'd like throw a sandwich at him. Like, eat that and get fat and come back and play Blues Traveler's music. This is horrible. That was the appeal of you. Yeah, boom. Boom. Throw Twinkies on the stage.
Okay, Hogan.
Undertaker.
Undertaker. Goldberg. Stone Cold. I'm gonna throw The Rocks on there. I think The Rocks is one of those great epic. Ric Flair, even though it was kind of 2001, and even though they still used it, you know.
I don't know. I don't know if I can put Ric Flair's on there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because his is like Macho Man's. Macho Man is like the graduation song.
Right, sure.
So
sure,
I don't think it's made for him.
We'll take Ric Flair off the list. All right. Here's mine.
NWO. I think.
I was going to say the Hollywood Blondes. That music was awesome. I would go with the Hollywood Blondes. I like that one.
They're a little before my era, but I vaguely remember.
Yeah, I like... Ow, that's the second time.
Why do you keep hitting your elbow?
For those that don't know, because we're listening, I hit my elbow twice on my desk. I have no idea why.
Pull the chair out a little bit. You got some room.
There we go. Anyways. Okay, how about just... Let's talk about greatest entrances. So we're talking about entrances, entrance music. Who's got some of the greatest top four, top five greatest entrances?
Undertaker's is on the list.
Yeah,
obviously.
Most definitely. Yeah, I think he's number one. I mean, you got here's one that's on my list, but it's probably like three, four, or five. It's not top three. In fact, we'll say it's either four or five. The Sandman. In ECW.
Yeah.
There was nothing like, you had no idea where the fuck that guy was coming from. He's drunk, he's throwing beer all around, and it was just a chaos, you know, so I'm going to throw that one in there.
Yeah, Sandman's on the list. Maybe Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, that's a good one.
He just ran in and
shook
the ropes, and it was full of energy. And it's hard, as a kid, when you're watching him do it, it's hard not to get hyped.
Exactly.
So, I think he's definitely on the list.
I say Hogan. Hogan's entrance. I mean, there was not much to it, but...
Yeah.
I'll just say this. As a kid that never really, really was a huge Hogan fan. And I say that, and people go, bullshit, John. No, I just really wasn't. I never... Like, I just... There was nothing... Watching Hulk Hogan on TV, I never connected with him. Like, I just was like, this guy just seemed so phony. Like, I don't know what it was. I just didn't connect. But... When you go see him live, I mean, like, I was like, oh, stupid, I'm going to, Kamala's better. But you heard, I am a real, and then you couldn't help. Yeah. You couldn't help but go, yeah, you know, I mean, you couldn't help it.
I think Goldberg, his entrance was cool because he would get the spark shot at him and he would breathe the smoke and kick and pyro would go off. Rey Mysterio's.
The one from where you pop up out of the on the trampoline, that was good.
Yeah.
Here's another one. It would probably be very low on the list. Big Van Vader, when he had the giant mastodon helmet that would shoot this,
and he took it off,
and he took it off, and it would shoot. That was impressive.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool back in the day. I will say this too. We'll go back to theme music. I think another great one that I liked was Harlem Heat's music. Harlem's Heat music was pretty good. I dug that, too. That was awesome.
Harlem Heat was a good tag team.
The Harlem Heat was a good tag team. No doubt. Yeah. Absolutely.
Not a very good entrance, though. Other than just the fact
that the first ones
to use fire.
Right, sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think of other great entrances.
Go ahead. Brood.
The Brood was awesome, and that was a great music and great entrance. Yes, mm-hmm. I'll give you that one.
They were the first ones to come up.
Right. And that music was creepy as all get out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I like that one. Other great entrances, I don't know.
Bray Wyatt's got a good one.
Yeah, I'd say nowadays, yeah, definitely he would.
Because he's got that, like, static at first, and then he just walks out with the lantern. It's very simple.
I feel bad that they're all injured.
Are they all injured?
Luke Harper's injured, Bray Wyatt's injured. Rowan and Strowman are not. So that's unfortunately why we haven't seen Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I wondered why they were all over the Payback advertisement.
And like then not on the pay-per-view.
Not on the pay-per-view at all.
Luke Harper, I think, busted up an ankle, I think. And so he's out for a couple of months. And I think Bray, I'm not 100% sure. I want to say shoulder, but I don't know if that's correct or not.
Yeah, and then Braun Strowman, he can't read, so.
Right, Braun Strowman just...
He couldn't read the plane ticket, so he ended up in parts unknown.
Ryback is a better wrestler than Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman. There you go.
Man, that match that he had against the Dudleys when he, like, Bubba, like, held the trash can and, like, are you going to hit it? Like, are you going to hit me?
Geez. Oh, man. Braun Strowman. What can you say? All right, man, we're getting up to an hour, so maybe we should start wrapping this bad boy up, you think?
Yeah,
it's
probably.
It's been fun talking about just crazy random wrestling stuff, man, and our thoughts on the pay-per-view.
Yes. So,
you want to tell people where they can get in touch with you on social media, or do you not care? Are you gonna do a heel promo and be like, I don't care what you have to say. It doesn't matter to me.
I mean, they can get in touch with me on Facebook. Benjamin Hilton. I don't really. It's just a personal page, so you have to hunt for it.
Okay.
I'm on Twitter, BenHilton88. I'm on Instagram. That one's harder to find. It's like Ben_Jam_in88.
Okay.
On Instagram, and then BenHilton88 on Snapchat.
What? I'm
probably the first guest that you've ever had that has a Snapchat.
That is accurate.
So
that is accurate because I don't think anybody else is like, I don't even know what's that. So how many Snapchats do you send out?
Not a lot.
Yeah, like me with Instagram. Like I keep saying I have one. Yeah. I do have one. I just,
well, the problem is I don't have enough followers. Once I get enough followers, then everybody will get a personal one every day.
Hey, there you go, people. Make Ben's dream come true. Yeah. He wants to do a daily Snapchat.
Yeah, I send out a lot of Snapchats to change bulbs and projectors.
That's what it is, huh? This is you here.
Yep. Right. Videotape me how to change a bulb.
There you go.
Recording, because I guess we don't videotape anymore, because I don't have a cassette recorder.
Okay, well, hey, you know, old verbiage dies hard.
Yes.
What can I say?
I did see that there is a Blockbuster in Indiana.
Wait, time out. Wait, stop. Okay, we wrapped up this episode, but I have to ask this. A Blockbuster video in Indiana?
Yeah, because it was like, so... Dish bought Blockbuster and then closed all the stores. But there are a select few that are owner-operated, so they operate with outside of the corporation. They basically paid Blockbuster to use their name, but they...
Okay, all right. You know. So there's one in Indiana?
There's, like, several in Indiana. Oh, there's a couple in Alaska, there's some in Texas, but the closest one to us
is Indiana.
Ohio, is Indiana. And I really want a road trip there.
Wow.
One day to just...
Just to see.
Just to see it.
Yeah.
And, like,
walk
around and reflect. I don't know why there's not a documentary made about Blockbuster and the death of, like, the video store.
Well, you know what? That's funny, because there's one here in Columbus over on Bethel Road, I think. I think it's still open. I hope
a Blockbuster?
Or? No, not a Blockbuster, but a mom-and-pop video store.
Oh, okay.
Video Central, I believe. No, is that the name of it? I can't remember the name of it.
Nah, Video Central was one of them that was
A Video Central. Place, yes, so. Yes. They still have one. It's owner-operated. They still...
Yeah, on Bethel. Yes.
Over there?
They were one of the first places that rented Laserdiscs.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I wish I had a Laserdisc player just so I could watch one, even though you have to take it out and flip it over. I don't know why.
Do you have Star Wars on Laserdisc?
No. But I feel like if I did, it would be sweet because it would be the original cut.
That's right, it would be.
Yeah.
That would be tight.
Yep.
Unbelievable. All right, anyways.
Now that we're
people at home are like, we don't care. Shut up. You two are idiots.
They start talking about Goldberg. They're talking about Laserdisc. What a bunch of nerds.
1997 called. They want their podcast back. Anyways. All right, with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. Ben, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up this episode. My oh my, that was certainly a rowdy one. That was certainly a rambunctious one, wasn't it? I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you found it entertaining. I hope you didn't find it annoying. But hey, man, that's what happens when you get together with good friends and like-minded people. As you heard, who would have thunk that we have the same man crush? But Ben and I talking all things wrestling. So again, hopefully you found it entertaining and enjoyable. So, all right, let's get into one other quick thing that I want to let you know about. And that is, of course, are you looking for some cool comics to read? Yeah, then you should check out the catalogs of two great comic book publishers, NixComics.com and BackPorchComics.com. Because no matter the genre, no matter what you're looking for, I guarantee you, Ken and Bob, they will have a book that will meet that need. All you got to do is go over to NixComics, N-I-X-Comics.com or BackPorchComics.com. Check out their catalog and pick something up and entertain yourself with some fresh, new, interesting, and unique comic books. So, all right, we're keeping it short because it has been a long episode, so let's get right on into it. It's time for Orlando's Fave! My fave for this episode of the PVD cast is something that I thought might actually pop up in the conversation that Ben and I had on this episode, but it didn't. So my fave for this installment is the movie Midnight Special. I went to go see it last week, and it's a really interesting science fiction film. I thought that it was really well acted with Michael Shannon, Kirsten Dunst, Joel Edgerton. I thought it was really neat in the way it was shot in terms of its cinematography and just how well the actual like background music, the score, matches up with the cinematography was very well done. It's an interesting science fiction flick. I definitely would recommend it. It wasn't perfect. There were some things that I thought was a little bit weird about it. But overall, I enjoyed it. I like to grade movies. I gave it a B. I thought it was pretty good. So you get the opportunity to check out Midnight Special, and you know you're into science fiction, you definitely need to check it out. So that's my fave for this installment, the movie Midnight Special. All right. Well, that being said, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me. You can get in touch with me by following me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can also follow me on Instagram under that same username. I do not have a Snapchat like Ben Hilton, but nonetheless. And please follow him on all those social media outlets that he has. But if you want to shoot me an email, you can do so by simply just going to your email and shooting me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. So, hey folks, I really appreciate everybody listening. And with that, I will chat at each and every one of you later.